Well, hello again.
Morning to you all.
Grab your Bibles, turn to Exodus 34. That's where we are going to be at this morning. So however you choose to engage with Scripture, either on a tablet, your phone, or old school paperback, hardback Bible, please go ahead and grab and turn to Exodus chapter 34. And as you turn there, I will begin our time in the Word with this prayer. Open, Lord, my eyes that I may see. Open, Lord, my ears that I may hear. Open, Lord, my heart and my mind that I may understand. And so shall I turn to you and be healed. And all who agree, say with me, amen and amen. All right, going to begin with a little bit of audience participation this morning. How would you fill in the blank with this next statement? God is love. God is good. God is forever. God is great. Say again. Loving. Miss Barb? Ma'am? Big. God is big? All right, love it. Never changing? Okay, unchanging? Beautiful? Faithful? Okay. Awesome? God is awesome. Omnipotent? Go get those words where you got to pause and like give space to sound it out. Otherwise, you may say something you'll regret. What else? Faithful, we've got faithful, we've got loving, we've got omnipotent, all-powerful, God is big, God is everywhere, God is awesome, God is great, almighty, full of mercy, full of grace. God is, period. God is, I like that, that's good. God is Father. God is truth. Forever. Life. All good, 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 encouraging, helpful, needed statements about who God is. This morning we're going to be journeying in Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. There are seven character traits used here to describe who God is. And over the months, with my opportunities to preach, I will continue my own little mini-series through Exodus 34 with these character traits. But this morning we're going to focus on one. So with Bibles open, however you are engaging with Scripture, I invite you to hear these words. And he, referring to the Lord, passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, Yahweh, Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining loyal love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet, he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and the fourth generation. That final statement we will journey through here in the upcoming months. But for today, I simply want to focus on one particular word. As another school year, which Jared mentioned last week and Dave mentioned during communion, we just can't keep on like nudging that in. School's coming, just in case you weren't aware. School is coming. As another school year dawns upon us, for the Donnell household, and I am assuming, hopefully correctly, as well as many others, August is a month of transition. Transition from summer, which consisted of vacations, relaxed schedules, rest, hopefully, and into another season of busy schedules, new classes, new teachers, maybe even a new school. But in the midst of this newness, there will be opportunities, new relationships, new challenges, and unknown. Unknown challenges, unknown opportunities, unknown successes that await you, and unknown setbacks. Unknown transition as well, and for many of us, August presents a reality that there will be moments throughout this year of, I didn't see that coming. How many of us in our lives have experienced the, I didn't see that coming type of moments, right? All of us have. We've all experienced that. We've all gone through it. And there is a truth about life other than God Himself. And that is, in your life, it will be marked by uncertainty. We will all face the uncertainties, the I didn't see that coming in lives. All of our lives will be marked by uncertainty. We all try our best to control and plan and schedule and be as best as we can be to be prepared for what will happen to us in life. But a truth about life is that our lives will be marked with uncertainty. And there is a point in uncertainty that we will have to decide how will we live in the midst of that uncertainty. There are seasons of life. There are experiences in life. There are things with which we go through in life where we will have to decide, okay, I didn't see this coming, but it's here. So how do I move forward with it? See, for the people of God here in Exodus 34, they are transitioning between two major events in their story. One is the rescue from Egypt and how God is retraining, reprogramming, kind of a retransitioning, a transformation in them to be and live a certain way of life. Life was like this in Egypt, but now that you have been rescued, now that you have been redeemed, now that you have been saved from Egypt, I need to retrain you, to transform you into what it means, into what it looks like to be my people. Specifically, my people on mission. So they are going through this retransitioning, this transformation in life. Think summer bedtime schedules to school time schedules. Like, any parent here that like brings up heartburn? I know it does for me. We are transitioning into that, and boy, is it fun. The second major event is the wilderness experience. Which, when you look at kind of the design pattern of wilderness throughout the biblical narrative, wilderness is always a time for testing, a time for preparation. Before the people crossed into the promised land, there was this time of God preparing them for what the promised land is going to hold. Before Jesus goes out into his ministry, after he is baptized by John, what happens to him? What happens? The Spirit sends Jesus out into the wilderness. A time of testing. A time of preparation. So those two major story events are taking place during this time in Exodus 34 where God makes these claims about Himself. See, we all go through journeys of uncertainties and journeys of testing. The question is, are our eyes and our hearts and our ears open as we go through them? Are we prepared? Are we, if you're not currently going through one, are you preparing yourself for when it happens? Because if it's not happening now, you can pretty much guarantee that there will come a time when what? It will happen, right? We all go through seasons of uncertainties. We all go through seasons of testing. And here is a truth about those seasons of uncertainty and those seasons of testing. We may be caught surprise by them when they come about. But I guarantee you God is not. And that is a truth we can rest in and a truth we can rest on. When we go through seasons of uncertainty, when we go through seasons of testing, we may be caught surprised by them. But our God is not. Have you noticed that we live in a culture where worry is mistaken for responsibility? And how many of us live there? We live in a culture, we maybe have even trained ourselves to think that if I worry, I am being responsible. In other words, you and I may be prone to confuse responsibility with worry and believe we are being responsible when in fact all we are doing is feeding worry, especially when we go through seasons of uncertainty, right? If you're certain about something, what are you worried about? Now, some of us like to make stuff up to worry about, even in seasons of uncertainty, right? But definitely in seasons of testing and seasons of uncertainty, worry is prone to be right there with it. And sometimes we believe if we're not worrying about it, that somehow we're not being responsible about what we're experiencing in life. But God has a word for us in Exodus 34. In a world where worry is synonymous with responsibility, the peace of God becomes synonymous with apathy. Sometimes others and sometimes we ourselves. We substitute peace of God when we're in seasons of uncertainty and seasons of testing, when we are at peace with apathy. Because we're so prone to think that I've got to worry about this, I've got to stress about this, I've got to do, I've got to do, I've got to do. And sometimes when we live in the peace of God throughout that, we can confuse it with apathy, or others can confuse us of being apathetic when we are living into and when we are living out of the peace of God during seasons of uncertainty, during seasons of testing. And this is exactly what Exodus 34 is inviting the people of God to live into and to live out from. I hope those prepositions make sense. Because if you hear them, I very much believe the Word of God through the Spirit of God can do something to you in whatever season of life you may be journeying through. So let's hear this one more time, maybe two more times. We're going to do a little bit of Eat This Book. For those of you in my class, you know what that means. And if you don't know what it means, just think about the difference between applying a Band-Aid and eating something. You apply a Band-Aid, it's on there for a period of time, and then you rip it off and throw it away. When you consume something, you digest it, you chew on it, it does something to you. That's what we're going to do with the Word of God this morning. The Lord, Yahweh, Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining loyal love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. Punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third, fourth generation. Whatever you need to hear, I invite you now to sit and hear it. One more time. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining loyal love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and the fourth generation. A few months ago, Sarah Cooey led a class over A.W. Tozer as we were journeying through one of his writings. And there is a line that has stuck with me ever since that class that is extremely true. And as we read this quote, I hope you believe in its truthiness. The most important thing about you is not you. The most important thing about you is what you think about when you think about God. That will transform you from the inside out. And if you don't ever think about God, what does that say about you? But the most important thing about you and I is what we think about when we think about God. If your view of God is active, present, if those are the adjectives that you use to describe God, God is loving, God is attentive, God is awesome, God is powerful, God is big, God is Father. God knows your best, wants your best, is working towards your best. If that is your understanding of who God is, when the uncertainties of life come your way, you are fundamentally different. Right? If this is who you believe God is these things. When the testing and when the uncertainties of life come your way and my way, you and I and we are fundamentally different. But if your view of God, that He is angry, He is distant Father that only shows up on holidays, frustrated, disappointed, disengaged, what happens to you when uncertainty occurs will be revealed. It will be exposed. The season of COVID did a lot of things to our country, to our families, to our friends, to this church. But what it did more than anything is it exposed us. It revealed what you and I really think about when we think about God. And in some ways, it still is. But what do you and I do with that exposure and with that revelation is also important with how we move forward as individuals and as a church community. How do we move forward in the seasons of uncertainty and in the seasons of testing? How do we move forward? So back to our Exodus 34 text. Not many of us can walk onto the scene and kind of like proclaim ourselves. If I got up here and said, Michael Donnell, you'd be like, you need to get down. But only God can get on stage and proclaim Himself in the third person, right? The Lord, Yahweh, Yahweh. The Lord begins to describe the character of who He is. According to Exodus 4, the Lord is abounding in what two character traits? Abounding in love and abounding in faithfulness. What would happen to you and I if we memorized just that statement alone? If we ate that statement, if we chewed on that statement, like cows do with their cud. We chewed on it and then brought it back up and then chewed on it some more. And then it's nasty imagery, but it works. What would happen to us? God is abounding in love and faithfulness. God is abounding in love and faithfulness. What would that do to you and I if we ate those words instead of just applying them? What would happen to us? Do yourself a favor. Underline the word abounding in the text. You can highlight it, I think, even in the Bible app that you may have. This word abounding, it means never ending. It means inexhaustible. It means never ceasing. It means infinite. What do you believe will happen in your life if you and I took this state seriously about who God is? The resources of love and faithfulness towards us from God is without limit, never ceasing, inexhaustible. This is God's love and faithfulness to us in every season of life. He is abounding in love and faithfulness. Love is this fierce, unrelenting care, concern, and commitment towards someone for their good when they don't deserve it and when they can do nothing to earn it. This unrelenting, never ceasing, without limit of love. God is toward us. Faithfulness. Keep doing what's right even when no one is watching. Interesting definition of faithfulness. Keep committing to what the promise that has been made, that is faithfulness. You keep committed. You keep on going on. Even when no one's watching, even when it gets hard, even when the emotion is over with, even when it's difficult, you keep committed to the promise that you've made. That is God's faithfulness to us. God is love. God is faithful, even when we are not, especially when we are not, and even when we are, God is love. God is faithful. Just think about it for a moment. God's never ceasing, never ending faithfulness to you, even when you have spit in His face. When you and I have turned away from Him, and not just turned willingly, but turned intentionally, at times running away from Him, even in the midst of all of that, God is love. God is faithful. God wants for you and I to know that is who He is. That is who He is. That is who God is. When you and I begin to take this seriously, when you and I begin to know this in our head and in our heart, it will fundamentally transform us from the inside out. It fundamentally will. If you know that God is abundantly true in those ways, it will fundamentally transform you from the inside out. It's one thing to know the truths about God. It's very much different to know the God of those truths. Sometimes we can get in a habit of using these truths about God as check marks in a box. God is faithful, check. God is love, check. God is compassionate, check. But it's fundamentally different when you know the God of those truths. So, a few things I would like for us to look at as we draw this teaching to an end. What may it look like to be anchored in the faithfulness of God? What will it look like? What would be some fruit of that in the moments of uncertainty, in the times of testing that you and I have faced and will face in this life? The first one is you and I will be anchored in peace in a world overrun with anxiety. Just a few passages. Romans chapter 8, verse 6, you'll see on the screen. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And you can do a lot with this idea of the mind being governed, the mind being ruled, the mind being controlled by the flesh is death. What does that look like in your life? What things do you entertain over and over and over and over and over again in your mind that only lead to more frustration, more worry, more anxiety, more suspicion, more envy, more jealousy? What are those things in your life that you just feed over and over and over again? The Word of God here in Romans chapter 8 says there is a better way of life. There is a way of life that is anchored by peace. And if you feed yourself with the faithfulness of God, that will lead to a mind that is filled with peace through the Spirit of God. Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. What does that word let invite us, you and I, into? What's it invite us into? It invites us into a relationship, but it's also, are you willing for this to happen in your life, right? With the word let, it's an invitation. Will you? Because the offer is there. Will you let the peace of Christ rule in your heart? Will you let it? Because it's right there offering to you. When we feed ourselves in the abounding love and the abounding faithfulness of God, we will be anchored into a life of peace, a mind of peace. One more story in Mark chapter 4. You guys remember the scene where the storm is raging. Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. And what do you guys remember about the story? What does his disciples do and what do they assume about Jesus? Right? They wake him up. And you guys remember what they say to, what they said to Jesus? Teacher, don't you care? Don't you care? Yeah, we're going to drown. Teacher, don't you care that we're about to drown? The uncertainties of our life, the testing of our lives. For them, their uncertainty of their current circumstances led them to question the character of Jesus. Teacher, don't you care? How many of us, if we took some truth serum, when we went through uncertainties of life, when we went through testing in life, cried out to God, God, don't you care? God, don't you care? I'm drowning in this. I can't see any way out. As Jesus goes about the story, before he calms his disciples, what does he do? He calms the storm. He says, shh, storm. Now let me attend to my disciples. He calmed the current circumstances, and then he calms the storm around them. In other words, he calms the storm around them, and then he calms the storm within them. Which is so often what happens to us in our own lives. John chapter 14, verse 27. As Jesus is on his way to the cross, he's got 45 minutes left with his boys. And he has made some really powerful statements in this final discourse, as it's called. And they are confused. They're like, Jesus, where are you going? What do you mean we can't go with you? We've been going with you all this while. What do you mean where you are going we can't go? And Jesus says to them, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let, again, you hear the invitation. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. In this, Jesus is going to the cross. He's not going on vacation. Right? He is not to be sitting back on the beach in a lounge chair with a Corona saying, the peace I give to you is the peace I do not give to you as the world gives. Like, it's not that he is on his way to the cross. in the midst of extreme uncertainty. His disciples are going through this. And Jesus is saying, the peace I have, my peace, I give. The manifestation of my life in you is peace. Why? Because God is abundant in love and faithfulness. The second one of what this could potentially look like in our lives is you and I, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of testing, we can be anchored in hope. In a world spiraling in despair, we are a people of hope. One of the things that I invite you to do later on this afternoon, all of us, each and every single one of us, do this in families, do this as individuals, do this as a couple, but do this. Go and read Psalm 27 together. Read and meditate. Go and chew on Psalm 27. And see in the midst of life with David, the uncertainties and the testing that he was going through, where he ended up. Go and meditate on Psalm 27. In the seasons of uncertainty, we may not know the future, but we do know the God of the future who holds the future in His hands, right? We know this about God. And God has a telos, God has a direction with which He is taking all of history towards. Think Revelation 21 and Revelation 22. Think of passages like Romans chapter 8, verse 24. For in this hope we were, what, church? Saved. It's amazing what hope can do to us. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have. And in verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. How do we go about being anchored in hope in seasons of uncertainty, in seasons of testing? We know the God of hope who is at work for our good, come what may, no matter what, because we love Him. We love Him. The third one, and I'll draw this teaching to an end. Jared, you guys can come on up. A third manifestation of what it may mean and what it may look like to know this God who is abounding in love and abounding in faithfulness is we are anchored in courage. We are anchored in courage. While the rest of the world plays it safe, we have courage to step out in faith, confident in who God is in the uncertainties of life. We may not know what our next step may be, but because we know God is abounding in love and faithfulness, we have the courage to keep moving forward. So as we draw this first lesson to a close, I invite you to hear these words again. I invite you to pray on these words. Again, go home today and wrestle with Psalm 27. Wrestle with it as a family, wrestle with it as individuals, wrestle with it as a couple. But go and chew and eat the Word of God and let it do something to you through you. Allow it to transform you from the inside out. This is who God is. And for some of us this morning, we are going through uncertainties in life. We are going through a season of testing. And may this word from the Lord give you hope. May this word from the Lord give you peace. May this word from the Lord give you courage. Our God is abounding in love and faithfulness, come what may. Amen. As we close out this sermon, we have an opportunity for anyone who would like to respond. If there are prayers from the church that you would like to have prayed about, I will be down here to your right and my left, ready and willing to accept you, to receive you, to hear you, and to pray for you. If you would like a more private setting, our shepherds will be in our prayer room, ready to welcome and to receive you. However we can pray for you at this time, however we can listen to you, whatever spiritual needs you may be in need of, please take advantage of this opportunity. As together we stand, and as together we sing.